I'm Kara.
And I'm PJ.
And this is What the
Parent?
What the Parent? Brought to you by sleep. Good old sleep. The first thing we sacrificed as a parent. Not the last. Thanks,
no,
sleep.
No, it's not. Anytime there's someone that's about to have a kid and they're all like super excited, I'm like, dude or dudette, go get all the sleep.
Sleep now. What are you doing awake?
Get all the sleep you can and spend all your money because you're not going to have either of those things.
Exactly.
As soon as that kid comes.
Exactly. I famously, when my first was born, I famously asked my mom because she did not sleep through the night. She did not sleep past 5 hours for 18 months.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah. So I asked my mom, I'm like, Mom, when do I get to sleep? And she said, well, you have this short time when after like they're toddlers to about 11 before then you start worrying about them sneaking out of the house. Mm. So take advantage of that time.
That's awesome.
I know. And she didn't even have like Ring doorbell and outside cameras and
yeah,
find
like
my phone.
Fort Knox.
I know.
Good like Fort Knox and the sleep. CIA. Yeah. Sleep. I wish we had it.
I know. And our guest today is going to tell us why we need it.
Oh my gosh.
How we can get better sleep.
We are so excited to have y'all listen to this show because the guest we have on today, Justin Rothlingshofer.
Yeah.
This guy blew our minds.
Yeah.
Just incredible. Super smart.
Yeah.
Super into not only how you can use sleep to better yourself, but also just how you can be much more mindful about bettering yourself as a whole, as a person, as a partner, as a spouse, as a father, as a mother, as son, yeah, daughter, whatever.
Yeah.
Just like actual real life lesson kind of stuff.
And he's had a career, training and working with like National Hockey League, mm-hmm, athletes, just amazing, Olympic athletes. And you think about like those people have to have their bodies working at the prime level. But actually, as parents, our bodies are also important.
Absolutely. Right?
Absolutely. It's how sleep and our diet and everything go into, how patient we are, how well we listen, mm-hmm, how, present we are.
You know,
so all of that is super important. And trust us, it's not something that sounds not going to require you to give up French fries forever and all time.
No. Because I would have muted him immediately.
I know. There are some small things you can do now.
Right. He was such a fountain of information in regards to just how to make small changes that make, small little changes of routine or of focus that can just provide some amazingly large benefits.
Right. Absolutely. And sleep in general has been a constant battle in our house. Not only for us to try to, eke out the sleep between like, working from home and Zoom schooling from home and, all mm-hmm of this stuff. But it's also, our kids are at that age, the teens and tweens, where they're like, why do I need to sleep? I can just stay up. I know everything. I don't have to go to bed. And you're never going to know because I'm just going to sit under my covers with my phone on, So it's been a battle about like, you need to get sleep.
Yes.
You must go to bed.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, a battle that I don't think we're winning.
I know we're losing this battle. We're losing it. And frankly, the biggest problem has been in the pandemic because we've been, school's been at home. They just roll out of bed, pajamas,
yeah,
and, like, go to school. They know that they don't have to be up at 6 a.m. to go catch the bus, mm-hmm, and be awake enough to move from class to class and not look like you're in a daze in front, right, of all your friends.
Right.
Right.
They have to actually spend a little focus on, oh, what am I going to wear? And
yeah,
hey, is hygienically, am I okay? Am I smelling
right
badly? Is my hair just, some bird's nest on top of my head? Like, no, they actually have to care. And
yeah,
and that's, societal pressures and peer pressure, right, whatever, but they'll put that focus on themselves during the, during school time, but now you don't have that.
Right. And there's no real consequence. School starts later. They can be in their pajamas. They don't have to have the shower because no one can smell them through Zoom.
We really got to start pushing that. They do have to have the shower.
I know. Unfortunately.
For the sake of all of us.
I know.
It's not the smell. It's the burning of the eyes.
I know.
That's what I say.
I know. But if I'm honest with myself, I take fewer showers. What's the point?
Oh, we know.
Thank goodness this podcast isn't in smell-o-vision. Woo!
Scratch and sniff is something never should be allowed on Zoom. Yeah.
Yes. No. No.
No, but we are very excited for you guys to meet Justin, to hear about what he's got going on. And when you hear it, you're like, oh, okay, that totally makes sense. It's just that I think most people out there know this kind of stuff. I mean, clearly not to the depth that Justin does, but you know, a lot of it's common sense. Yep. A lot of it is, that seems like that should work, but for whatever reason, and the reasons are many, but we don't focus on that stuff and life gets in the way and we get knocked off of our routines. And, you know, like I guess I should have asked him this, but it takes like 3 weeks to actually create a routine from what I understand. And so sometimes it's really easy to get knocked off that routine or to quit before it really sets in. So super, super cool guy though. Really energetic, really smart. Gets into it. We're really happy with this interview and we think you guys are going to like it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So without further ado, let's meet Justin from justownit.co. All right. And today on the show, we have a fantastic individual who's going to help us out with getting us pumped about sleep. It's kind of, I don't know if you want to get pumped about sleep, but it's so important. And this guy is
so important.
This gentleman is He's a rock star. His name is Justin Rothlingshofer. Rothlingshofer. Good. I did it.
Nailed it.
Thank you. It's a long name.
Hey, you know what? You look at it and it's intimidating. And once you say it, it just rolls off the tongue.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, it does. It does.
Yes.
Absolutely does.
So Justin has played and coached in the NHL, which I totally want to dig into. I'm kind of like fawning over this guy right now. Worked as a performance director in the NCAA, runs a private camp for pro hockey players, and works with some of the busiest CEOs. He has written 3 books on body development and fitness, including Own It, How to Break Through Barriers and Master Your Health, Wealth, and Relationships. Justin founded Own It, a consulting firm that helps executives and entrepreneurs and their companies build high-energy lives that enable stronger cultures, longevity, and leadership. If you are interested, of course, there'll be links in the bio, but find out more about them at justownit.co. That's JUSTONIT.co. And Justin, welcome to What the Parent.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been, I love doing these shows and chatting with you two briefly before this. I'm really excited to dive in deeper.
Fantastic.
So are we.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're going to pick your brains here. So we'll get started right here. You have trained elite professional athletes as well as corporate CEOs. So I'm sure a slight variance in body types. Why is it important for regular everyday parents to think about their own bodies in a different way? How can getting healthier, like eating better, getting more sleep and the like, help us be better parents?
It's such a great question. And so often we think about ourselves as not deserving of these things. Or we think of ourselves as, I don't qualify to do that. Or that's just for the elite athlete. Or that's something that's intimidating for me. But in actuality, what ends up happening is we think about it in terms of capacity. And I want us to think about our lives as a cup for a second. As parents, we have our own schedules. We have our own jobs. We have our kids' schedules. We have our spouse's schedules. We have the home ownership, or we have where we live, keeping that up. We have all of these things that are continually being put in our basket, in our cup. And if we don't focus on being able to build capacity for that cup, our cup very quickly becomes overflowing, or it becomes filled up to the top where we can no longer give at the level and serve at the level in which we truly desire. And so I want us to think about everything I just talked about as stress. And stress is not a bad thing. Stress is actually what keeps us sharp. Stress is what allows us to develop. It's what allows us to shape ourselves and to perform at a higher level. I love the example of how does a diamond get formed? Well, pressure and stress. If there's not enough pressure and stress, it's going to stay a lump of coal. And how does a pearl get formed? Well, it's pressure and stress. It's the same thing with us. The more in which we pressure and stress ourselves in the appropriate form and in the appropriate and in the appropriate amounts, it starts to bring out the better or the best in us. And in doing that, we want to make sure that we have a system in which we can look at and a system in which we can follow. And so let's go back to that cup analogy. And if we take a look and say, hey, I'm putting just the regular things underneath me. Stress comes in four forms, and our body does not know the difference: mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional. Okay.
Sure.
Body does not know the difference between those four forms. And if we think about it in terms of a pyramid, we would look at it, and at the bottom of that pyramid is physical. So at the bottom is that physical. The next is emotional. The next is mental. And the top is spiritual. Now, when we're talking about building capacity, we need to look at the physical first. We need to look at the way we sleep, the way we eat, the way we move, the way our environment looks, the immune function in which we operate from. It's really Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you will. And when we look after the physical, it allows that cup to become bigger, to grow. But here's where a lot of us miss out on the boat, is that creating sustainability and creating that change long term happens from the top down, spiritual all the way down, and reuniting and aligning with a true purpose and values that are going to allow those things that we're using to build that capacity with to be what we can do for a long term. And that will allow us to serve in our core, in our values, in our alignment for everybody else that we're trying to do that for, including ourselves.
Sure. So you're saying we can't just say, you know, pick up an exercise routine in and of itself or change our diet alone and expect it all just to kind of fall into place without thinking about some of these other aspects too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And just want to point out, if pressure and stress creates diamonds, I should be like the Hope Diamond right now.
After this year,
after this year, I am gleaming and translucent and brilliant.
There is so much stress
with my one
year.
Single facet that I have.
I think we didn't realize how much stress there was until there was this added all layer of stress on top of it. And then you're like, wow, I had no capacity. My cup was already full.
I had a saucer.
Right. That's exactly it. And if you can build a cup that continues to grow and grow and grow and expand, it's not that we just want to keep adding more water and turning more faucets on. It's that we want to have holes in our cup so that water can start to filter out. And those holes in the cup are the things that are like self-care, the things that are things we do just for ourselves. Meditation, walks, yoga, exercise, massages, little weekend retreats. We have what we call in our house shut off Sundays, where some people call it tech-free Sundays.
Yeah, I love that.
Where you completely allow yourself to disengage. My wife and I have a mandatory date night once a week where we end our day at 5 p.m. And it's Thursday for us. We end our day at 5 p.m. every single Thursday. And it's nothing about us, nothing except us all night.
That's wonderful.
And we alternate. She plans it 1 week. I plan it the next. We have a mandatory spontaneous day once a month where she plans it 1 month. I plan it the next. And it has to do, again, with just us connecting. We have a quarterly little getaway that we do with our family that we, again, get very focused and do it so that we have something to look forward to. And all of those things go into what we're talking about, creating holes in that cup so it can strain and allow the stress to come off a little bit,
sure.
But continue to increase the capacity of that cup so that, hey, when it's time to work, I have no trouble pushing a 12, 14 hour day if I have to, if that's what's being asked of me. I have no problem serving our community at a very high level, because that's what we expect of ourselves. And that's also what our community expects of us. And so it's being able to play with that gas pedal and that brake and being okay with it. It goes back to what I talked about at the beginning, where it's not about treating life as a marathon, but rather treating life as a series of sprints and knowing when to push the gas pedal down, taking the governor off, take no holds bar and going. But then also knowing that if I'm going to be pushing, I can't push for a week straight. I can't push for a month straight. Mm-hmm. Sure. I need sometimes you can't even push for a day straight if you want to be completely honest, is that we need to be able to, again, have those intermittent blocks of time where we're resting, where we're recovering, and where we're allowing ourselves to really truly push some more.
Yeah. So you're talking about really being mindful and being present in your own self-regulation, right?
Like 100%, you nailed it.
Right. So it's, I think that's, first of all, I think that's fantastic. A lot of people forget, especially the relationship between spouses, they forget who they're really partnering for the rest of their lives. People that are on the revolving wheel of, you know, the rat race are always thinking, well, if I push harder, if I do more, if I sacrifice more, it's going to help me in my job attain maybe more honor at work or more salary or whatever the case may be. But really, you're basically just running yourself ragged, and you are potentially hurting the relationships that really should matter most, which is your spouse, your children, your community, your friends. And so I think that's a great way to look at it. I like this cup.
Yeah,
completely. No, completely. And it, even diving deeper into that, I'll kind of take it two ways. So one is something we always say to our teams and people we work with is date your wife. That's something we always talk about, is
so important.
You're not just, or date your partner, whoever it is, if it's a husband, wife, whatever it may be, but date your partner and date your kids.
Yeah.
And it sounds weird, but your son, if and again, that's talking of me looking down or working with a male, a father figure, working with their son or daughter. The son, he's learning everything from you. And if you don't take time to dedicate to him, to be with him, to teach him the ropes and date him theoretically and spend time purposeful, Daddy Sunday, how is he going to learn how to be a man? How is he going to learn how to treat women? How is he going to learn how to, the morals, the values that you truly own? Who's he going to learn it from? He's going to learn it from his teachers. He's going to learn it from his friends. He's going to learn it from maybe his friends' parents. Mm-hmm. And do they embody everything that you embody? Probably not. Same thing with your daughter. Dad looking down at a daughter, date your daughter. You should set the level and the bar. You should set the level and the bar to which you're operating, to which they are expecting, to the way in which a man should treat her, the way in which should a door be held? How should she be spoken to? All of these things. And so making it very purposeful. And then kind of touching on something else you said there was kind of continuing trying to reach for something else. And we always say, if not now, then when? We always hear, I'll be happy when I get the raise, or I'm going to just push for this small period of time until my business gets to this level, or I'm going to just push now until we can go on this vacation. Well, why not be happy now? Why not find that rhythm now and grow systematically? Because A, you're not going to burn out. B, you're not going to spin your tires. C, everybody in your corner is going to be so strong and with you along the way that the speed that you want to get there is actually going to go faster if you go slowly, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's so important too that, I mean, you know, as a parent or as a business person, you always have more goals, more things you want to do. I don't think anyone's ever like, okay, check box, done. I can retire now. Like, exactly. You know, so it is so important to find, you know, fulfillment in the stage where you are, so that you can appreciate what you've accomplished, you know, and not be just completely focused on what you haven't done yet.
Well, it's also, again, being very present. This is what I see as a theme throughout at least this conversation right now, is making sure that you're mindful and that you're in the moment instead of, you know, thinking too far ahead.
And I think what a wonderful idea, you know, to see your kids as people that you have to really carve out time for.
Yes.
And in a non-pressurized way, so that, because I love that, like dating your kids, it's really like you're getting to know them as they're changing.
They're always
Teens and tweens, they like new music or they like new things. And this is about like getting to know them where they are and meeting them where they are. And it's a wonderful idea.
It's so important from the whole family dynamic. And if you guys look into Daddy Saturday with Justin Batt, that's a connection that I have to make for you guys as well, is his whole premise was to end fatherlessness in in the world, theoretically. And that's his mission. And by doing that, he started with something called Daddy Saturday, which is taking Saturdays to go out of your way to have an epic Saturday with your kids every single week. And so it's something that they remember. It's something they look forward to. It's something that culturally, just like you set a culture in your business, such that you set a culture in your family, it is so important, because that becomes the foundation to which you operate. It's not just words that are put on the wall. It's not just sitting around the table on a Sunday night saying, what do we want our culture to be in our family?
Sure.
That's not how we operate. Yeah. But rather letting the actions and things you do, the rituals, the traditions, the intentional time that we take to speak louder and to ultimately set that for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know also something very important for you. You've talked about this a lot in videos and whatnot, is the importance of sleep. And I know parents in particular, from the time their kids are babies, basically sacrifice sleep. It's just, I think all parents are just like, well, I'm not going to sleep anymore. You know? Like, I guess sleep is done for me. Why is sleep so important for our overall health? And, you know, why should we generally take it more seriously than we do?
Yeah.
I mean, great question. Sleep is really the building blocks and the foundation to our health and mental well-being. Sleep is the only thing that allows our brain to rest. And I'm going to say that again, because sleep is the only thing that allows our brain to rest. We have something in our brain called these glial cells. And as the day goes on, we're releasing toxins as the process in which we're thinking, the process in which we're doing. And as we were completing this, all of a sudden, the brain doesn't have a pump like the lungs for the respiratory system or the heart for the circulatory and blood system. Is that everything just sits in the brain. And so the only way we remove the toxins is by sleeping at night. And so without getting that sleep in, we're actually creating toxicity within our brain that leads to Alzheimer's, it leads to dementia, it leads to that foggy feeling, it leads to chronic fatigue, it leads to cancers, it leads to strokes, it leads to all of these debilitating things that ultimately at the end of the day, if I was to say, hey, person one, person two, person three, if we could eliminate the risk or minimize the risk of having any of these things I just mentioned, would you want to know the secret to how to do that? Everyone, yes, please tell me. 100%. Great. It's sleep. Doesn't cost you anything. Doesn't require anything. It just takes a little bit of awareness, a little bit of purpose, and a little bit of planning.
Wow.
That's so important.
You're talking about these toxins. We have some kids in middle school who think that sleep is optional.
I know. Yes. Yes.
And we have had all kinds of discussions in regards to the importance of sleep. In fact, even calling toxins garbage.
Yeah, well, and I was trying to explain this whole process and to my 12-year-old, and she was like, wait, you're saying my brain is trash? And I'm like, no, I'm not saying your brain is trash. I'm saying there's like some, you know, toxins, there's trash in there. Your brain has to get them out. And you need to sleep so that the trash trucks can come and take them out. And so, but her takeaway was, well, you're saying my brain is trash. It's full of trash. I'm like, no.
And after a while, I'm like, yes, that's exactly what we're saying.
I'm going to throw some studies out here, and you guys are just going to, I think, latch on to this, because it really comes into this teen, tween, early 20s. Age bracket, because we talk about performance and we talk about performance in school. And yes, we know all the health risks where I mentioned before, but there was a study done with college students, and it took a look at the college students that got less than 6 hours of sleep per night, which that is clinically determined as sleep deprived. And those that were chronically sleep deprived did worse on tests than binge drinkers, marijuana users, and we're also more likely to drop out of college.
Wow.
Simply due to chronic sleep fatigue.
Wow.
That's alcoholics and drug abusers.
Yeah. They're doing better.
Just getting
crazy.
A greater percentage than alcoholics and drug abusers were the people who had were chronically sleep deprived. So that right there just tells us how important it is to get that sleep in. Because all of a sudden what happens is we end up in this vicious cycle of we're sleep deprived even on one night. One night of sleep deprivation can push us back. It changes the way our amygdala is stimulated. changes the way our prefrontal cortex is stimulated, which is our decision-making, our right from wrong. And the moment that we change our right from wrong and we have that shunted, well, we're going to start to make poor decisions. Maybe we stay up later the next night just by saying, oh, I want to watch this show on TV, or, mm-hmm. oh, I want to, I'm going to go and grab this snack, or, oh yeah, you know what? I'll have this extra beverage tonight that maybe won't cause this, or, you know what? I'll put that project off another day and I'm going to do something else, because our right from wrong is
blunted. Impaired. Yeah.
And then even how do we treat people? What do we prioritize? What do we show up for? The presence in which we're showing. And so that downhill spiral is so fast and so chaotic that it creates this massive exponential effect that is very difficult to get out of if we don't have the presence and cognitive awareness around it. And a lot of times we'll just say, oh, it's because they're a bad person, or they're just not very smart. But in actuality, it's no, they've been chronically sleep deprived for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they've never brought the awareness back to it. And the moment they go, well, how much sleep do you get on an average night? Well, usually in bed by midnight, 1 o'clock, and waking up at 7 or 8, I get six, seven hours of sleep a night. I'm getting the amount of sleep I need. And it's not the quantity that matters, but the quality of sleep. And we can really get into that and the studies that are there that will show why it's the quality that truly matters.
Yeah. How did we get the best sleep? What is the way to really, to get the most, or the quality sleep that you need?
Yeah. Or do we just take everything that we can from drug abusers and drunkards? Right. Just get ourselves unconscious and then.
They might be sleeping well because they're just knocking themselves out. I don't know.
It's a great point. It actually, so when you use alcohol and when you alcohol or drugs, you're actually just passed out. You're not actually sleeping. So there's 4 stages of sleep. There's light sleep. There's slow wave sleep, or otherwise known as deep sleep. There's REM sleep. And then there's that wake cycle. And so to go through that whole cycle, those 4 phases, usually takes somewhere between 90 and 120 minutes. And the only difference between somebody sleeping extremely well and like a really good sleeper and somebody who is less than average is the time spent in each zone. And so for somebody who's drunk, somebody who's high, somebody who's under the influence, they're actually going to skip over phases 2 and 3, slow wave and REM, almost completely. And so they're just going back and forth between light and wake cycles. So there's no mental restoration. There's no physical restoration happening. There is zero restorative sleep being occurred when you're simply passed out. So you may sleep for 15 hours, but the quality has been absolutely zero.
And so all that trash in your brain is just
still there, still there.
And why do you think they call it a hangover?
That's good to know.
But hold on though. We don't get hangovers. Somehow. I don't know if that's genetics or not, but we don't get hangovers. So does that mean that we've attained some kind of nirvana of drink until you're passing out and getting good sleep? Is that possible, Justin? Say it is so.
It is not possible.
That's not possible. Come on, that's man. Right. No. And also, yes, no. It's just not good. It's not healthy. It's not good.
Man. And so as we go through that, you ask like, what can you do to really optimize? And there's a whole bunch of things, but I'll kind of deduce it down to a couple. So one is the environment in which you sleep in. Making sure that your sleep environment is somewhere between 60 and 68 degrees. You're going to be like, oh my God, that's cold. It's our body's temperature should dip down and always be dropping throughout the night and hitting that bottom lowest point of temperature at about 4 a.m. That's ideally what we're in. And so if we can sleep between 60 and 68 degrees in our room, that's optimal. Blackout shades. Anytime blackout shades, eliminating the red dot from the TV if we have a TV in the bedroom, eliminating the light from the alarm clocks with a towel or a TV or a t-shirt over it, getting rid of Landon lights, getting rid of night lights, getting rid of if we have something plugged in the bathroom like an electric toothbrush that gives the light off, show that it's charging, getting rid of all of those lights and getting the room as dark as possible is extremely important, because any type of light that is shown, our body has photoreceptors, our eyelids have photoreceptors. And so even when our eyes are closed, any sense or stimulation of those photoreceptors will take us out of that REM or
wow,
deep sleep cycle. And so that is another incredibly important one. Noise, making sure that we are in a quiet area. If we have some things that go off often, whether it's we live downtown in New York City like we do, where it can be noisy, a simple white noise machine, a fan that might continue to create that white noise for us is great. And then making sure that we are in that same environment, that it's a place of comfort, that we only do two things in the bedroom. And one of them sleep. You can guess what the other one is. we don't work in there. We don't eat in there. We don't do anything in there, because it's, again, setting our body up for, hey, this is what we do here. And it's, again, we're creatures of habit. And so when we work in the bedroom and we sleep in the bedroom, it's very hard to get into any type of deep practice in those places.
Hmm. That's a great point. Yeah,
great point.
But then
I was going to say, so that's environment. I was going to move on to the next one, but let's dive in.
Yeah. Well, just because, you know, you have teens and tweens, that room is their little cave that they will stay in all day.
Well, and unfortunately too, with virtual school,
they're literally in there.
It's often in bed in school.
Right.
And, you know, also drawing and, you know, on TikTok, and the bed's just their couch to, you know, do what they want.
And that's why it is so important, especially over this time where you're in this lockdown period where you may be confined to one space. It is so important to allow designated spaces where certain things happen. Mm-hmm. And so for your kids and for those teens and tweens, allowing them a space to, hey, this is where you're working. This is your workstation. This is where you're doing your schoolwork. This is where you're eating. And in your bedroom, that's where you can relax, wind down at the end of the night. But this is where you sleep. This is where this is done. And it's going to allow the system, the parasympathetic system within the body, to truly recognize and know, okay, I can relax here. I can recharge here. And that the decrease of cortisol is going to happen. The increase in melatonin is going to happen. And naturally, we're going to be able to fall asleep much faster and get a much higher quality of sleep. And that also leads me into my next point of eliminating blue light. So screen time, TV, phone, iPad, tablet, Kindle, you name it, whatever screen you want. Another, again, study base. I huge data guy, love the science, because there's a lot of pseudoscience out there. But for every hour of blue light exposure after the sun goes down, we have a 30-minute delay in secretion of melatonin.
Wow.
What?
So if the sun goes down at 7 p.m. and we're watching TV without a blue light filter, we're on our phone without a blue light filter, we're on our computer without a blue light filter until 10, we will not secrete melatonin until 11:30.
Oh, wow.
And now we can start to understand and realize, wow, I guess I can understand why I'm not able to fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't feel tired. Yeah.
And if you've ever heard of that second wind, and I put like quotes around it, but that second wind that we often hear is our body's waiting to produce some melatonin, waiting to go to bed. It's not happening. The receptors in the brain are being absorbed by adenosine, which again, don't allow us to bind with the material that actually helps us fall asleep. And thus we get a burst of energy that is artificial in nature and is again, taxing on our body and puts us into the sympathetic state that doesn't allow us to rest, digest, relax, and be present to go to bed and get that deep rest. So again, another reason why we should have that differentiating factor between screen time, blue light, and kind of have that shut off time.
Sure. What about, you know, a lot of people say, I know people who take it, and also my own kids have seen on TikTok, well, we should just take melatonin supplements.
I love this question.
Right? So everyone just says, well, the answer is just take a melatonin. So what is the deal with that?
Love that question. And I love that question because it's so many people are asking about taking melatonin. And if you take melatonin, it's not addressing the key issue, which is the creation of melatonin and how it's happening naturally. So if our body is just taking melatonin artificially, it's going to tell our body, hey, we don't need to produce it anymore. We can produce less. And thus, that's actually what's going to happen. So taking melatonin is actually one of the worst things you can do for you. You're actually supplementing a hormone. Let's remember that. We are supplementing a hormone. And hormone therapy is something that usually a normal person just can't go and do.
Right.
When we're considering what we're looking at here, there's a whole process that happens. Magnesium helps with the production of folate, helps with production of tryptophan, which helps with the production of what? Melatonin. And so if we are actually taking a look at it at a greater scale, 95% of us are deficient in magnesium. Why? Magnesium is a stress responder. So throughout the day, if you see a stick on the ground and you think it's a snake and you get scared, it's pulling magnesium from you. If you get in your car and you're driving, you're frustrated because you're in a traffic jam or you took the wrong way or you're late, your body's using magnesium. It is responsible for over 300 processes in the body. And one of the most important is as a cofactor or precursor to melatonin production.
Huh.
And so as we are looking at this, we are actually deficient in magnesium. And so instead of taking melatonin, what we can use is, I love this and I don't get paid for this. It's just a simple plug for people so they know, is EASE. It's called EASE. It's a magnesium spray. And you put it onto the inside of your arms, back of your neck and your sternum about 3 or 4 times a day. And it's 100% biousable by the body. A lot of magnesium sprays are only about 20% bioavailable. So that's why I love EASE. And by doing that, you're actually going to get one of the best sleeps ever because your body's naturally going to produce melatonin at a higher level because now you have the adequate amount of magnesium in order to create it. So you're taking care not of the symptom, but of the root cause, and thus allow the body's processes and systems to get realigned again. The other thing we should know is that there is 400 more times melatonin in the gut than there is being produced in the brain. So it's been told by... it's mythical that our pineal gland in our brain produces the most melatonin. That's where it all comes from. But it's actually 400 times more in the gut. And that's why that gut-brain connection is so high. And so if that's where we come back to, if we're not eating well, if our diet is off, if we're eating too late at night, because our body is digesting food, we're not going to allow the production of melatonin to actually get up to the brain and do the work that it needs to in order to help us sleep better.
Wow.
I know. I'm bowled over with knowledge. Wow. I had no idea. I mean, I knew melatonin probably wasn't great, but I had no idea like how harmful it could be.
So this magnesium spray sounds very cool. What foods do you think should be introduced or maybe focused on that would have magnesium in it more naturally?
Or is it more or that you just have to absorb it? Is it something your body absorbs rather than digests, I guess?
Yeah. So the big thing is that because it's used for so many processes in the body, like I said, it's over 300, it's continually being used. And so we often want to supplement it somehow, whether it's, and the reason I don't like supplementing magnesium orally is because it actually causes a rush of liquid into the intestines, which causes what? Diarrhea. So,
oh, geez.
We do not want to supplement magnesium orally. But if we're going to do it, a spray is really, really great. If we want to add foods that are higher in magnesium, deep leafy greens are extremely high in magnesium. Nuts, seeds, beans, whole grains, oats, those types of things are very magnesium rich, if you will. But what we also want to make sure of, and I know I talked to you about, or I mentioned this a little bit, was taking care of the gut and making sure that we're looking after the gut. And a lot of us are very familiar with probiotics, so your probiotic food. But oftentimes we forget that we also need prebiotic foods that prepare our body to absorb the probiotics. And then we have postbiotic foods that help us there as well. And so we can take all three of those through supplements. But again, a prebiotic would be things like onion or garlic or oatmeal or honey or spirulina, something like that, where your probiotic foods are more like that yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kombucha, avocados. And so by taking the pre and then the probiotics, it will help with that absorption and that healthy flora in the gut to help push the magnesium out, to help push the melatonin out at the appropriate times and make sure that, again, our gut flora and system is really optimizing and working at a high level.
And what are some good post
Yeah, I've never even post heard ones, of. I've heard of the foods. Prebiotics and the probiotics, but the postbiotics.
Yeah, so that's I love that you talk about or ask that, because postbiotic foods are ones that really we don't often hear of. And so yogurt, I know that we talk about that as well in prebiotics, but postbiotic foods are really being is like your Greek yogurt, pickles. Kimchi. Mm-hmm. Let me see here.
Not all at once. That would be a terrible combination. Well, not all at once, but
because you mentioned onions as a prebiotic, and then you mentioned avocados as a probiotic. So I am hoping for a good guac recipe that'll get everything done at the same time.
I mean, there you go. It's a great way to mix everything together. So, I mean, what you could do is you could put a little bit of yogurt into that.
Make it creamy.
As a thickener, Greek yogurt, if you will. Sure. Or even I was stuck on the kimchi. A little bit, or dip pickles in your guacamole.
There you go.
Okay, this is over.
Well, I love pickles. I love pickles. So, I'll, you know, whatever. It's fine. They go with everything.
Wow. But seriously, my mind is hurting now.
Too much
information.
But fantastic information. I mean, what I love too is it seems like there are some relatively small things we can do to change our behavior that might have really big outcomes. Like you don't necessarily have to train for the Ironman to.
Oh, thank God.
To perhaps be healthier and happier.
And that's why I love that you're bringing this and talking about this in this way, is because. Yes, my background and my history is working with some of the highest level athletes in the world, Olympians, Super Bowl MVPs, NHL players. But over the last, like I said, three and a half years, I really had a switch and I realized, hey, you know what? Everything that I've been doing with these athletes for this length of time is becoming more and more needed at the everyday family level. And it's not that it's going to be over and above and turn you into the a crazy athlete, or that you're gonna have to push a truck up a hill, or all these things that that people almost make excuses about and say, oh no, I can't do that because I don't want to. I'm not an NHL athlete, or I'm not an Olympian. I don't care. My guess would be that you would like to be the best version of yourself. You would like to be the best father you could be.
Sure.
You'd like to be a better businessman. You would like to be a better businesswoman. You would like to be a better mother.
Yeah.
You'd like to be a better spouse. And they're like, yeah, you're right. And so the moment that we start sleeping better, the moment we start eating better, the moment we start bringing this level of awareness to how we're showing up day in and day out, all of a sudden we start to see more fulfillment at home. We start to see the relationships that we have growing. We start to have boundless amounts of energy. We start to, our businesses start to flourish. We start to be able to show up in different ways that we couldn't before. We start to build capacity to handle more, to be able to show up at a more consistent version of us that ultimately we allow us to do more with less of us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, well, that's, and the, that's the cup and of that's, the holes. I think, the big, mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big takeaway, and the power that comes of this is and the aha moments that people start to have is they're like, I've been misinformed or have not been seeking the correct information for a long time, because traditionally, like I said, what do we try to manage? We try to manage time instead of energy. We think of life as a marathon rather than a series of sprints. We try to go vegan, but Oreos are vegan. Does that all of a sudden mean right. that's great? Like,
yeah,
we see this. We let's go keto, but we have keto cookies and keto. We're doing things. We're making an excuse and saying we're something and putting a label on it, rather than just saying I'm a human and I need to make sure that my body is operating the best that it can for me, based off things that we need. And that's why, again, with how we operate, everything is data driven. We go off of HRV, we go off of DNA and epigenetic testing, we go off biomarking, and we go off mental assessments that give us quantifiable information as to how our mindset and truly how we're hardwired. And once we put all that together, we can operate at a much higher level and be pinpoint accurate like a sniper as to where we can apply change for you to allow you to untap the levels of energy that have been held up and just burning inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because that's great.
All I keep thinking about now during this conversation is you know, through everything that you're introducing and talking about and bringing to light, which I love all of it, by the way, I just keep thinking it's such an easy conversation to have with people. If you put it in the context of what would you do if you could have one more day with the people that you love?
Yeah.
Or a week or a month or a year. Right. And so what,
or would be more patient with your kids or be more present in your business.
I don't want to be patient with the kids. No, I'm just kidding.
make better decisions. What would you give up?
Just that little thing of, you know, hey, if you change your life for the better, right? You become healthier, you get more sleep, you're mindful of not only what you're putting in into your body, but also mindful of what you're keeping out, then why wouldn't you do that? Right? Like, I mean, it's a pretty simple, it boils down to something pretty simple, which I'm a simple guy, so it kind of makes sense to me.
It's exactly it. You just sold it. I mean, right there is, why would you not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why would you not?
Yeah, perfect.
And it comes back to what we talked about before, that pyramid, where if we look after the physical, creates capacity, but what creates this sustainability for that? What creates the change mentally for you to do that? It's the connection to that spirituality, that connection to something bigger than yourself that truly means something to you. And for you, you just ask the question, is it your family, seeing them for an extra day, an extra month, an extra year? Is it serving other people? Mm-hmm. Is it being there for your daughter to walk down the aisle with her? What is it that's going to create that long-term sustainable change from the right side, physical up? It starts from the mental, spiritual, top down.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's way deeper than
I know. This is fantastic. Fantastic. I'm
a deep person.
We can tell.
This is so wonderful. I mean, really.
You thought you were going to come up here and have me talk about sleep.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's just one thing, one element.
Well, yeah, I'm like, you know, here's this guy. He's good looking. He's ripped, right? He talks about sleep all the time. I can't get my kids to go to sleep. Let's talk to him.
Yeah.
Instead, I have like this life lesson. I'm full of shame and jeez, I got to change my life around. I got to try to reconcile with my family members. Oh, it's a whole thing.
But also what a great thing to teach the kids too, that it's all connected, that this is, you know, mind, body, spirit is all connected. It's important to take care of all of it.
So we have kids of age whose brains actually aren't fully formed yet. Right. I mean, that's a physical fact. And they're arguing against sleep. You know, we hear the arguments. Oh, yeah, I'm getting enough hours of sleep, even though I'll stay up till 6 a.m. I'll eat something at 4. Mm-hmm. Right. Like in the morning. Right. They're going through these cycles. And then, oh, yeah, I'll just sleep till noon. I'll be fine, or whatever the case may be. How do we talk to them, you know, without getting too scientific? Or maybe we could, I don't know. But, you know, what would your advice be to talk to them about, listen, you really need, besides me saying, I'm going to knock you out.
Right.
You need to get some sleep.
Fantastic. I love the question, because it's very tangible, very actionable, and it's not what a lot of people are going to think. But we treat the kids the same way we do the adults. We have to attach it to something that truly motivates them. Because remember, what we're asking them to do is something from the bottom of the pyramid. It's sleep. It's a physical aspect. It's something that is on the outer energy controllable piece. So if we're just saying, hey, go to bed, well, that's something we are putting on them. It means nothing to them. They have no connection with it. They have no spiritual connection with it. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is we need to figure out what motivates them. What did they want to perform for? I went to bed and started to fall in love with this stuff at 13 years old because I had a massive connection to play in the National Hockey League. That was my driving force for everything, every single thing I did. That was why when my friends were reading comic books and playing video games as a kid, I was reading books on physiology and HRV. That at 16 years old, when my friends were out at parties and chasing girls, I was at home sleeping with a brainwave tracker to see what stages of sleep I was getting into. I wanted to be the most consistent version of myself and perform at a higher level. And that was how I knew I was going to do it. I would do all that during the day. I'd have fun with that during the day. But hey, at night, you guys go have at it. I'll see you later when 10 years down the road, you're looking at me going, wow, how did you do this? Right. It wasn't hard. It was just a choice that I made, something that was purpose driven and something I was extremely attached to. So what we have to do is we have to figure it out. And it doesn't need to be to play at the NHL level or something like that. It could be simply of, hey, you know what? I know you really love skiing and on Saturdays, I'll take you skiing every Saturday, or something that they love. If you're close to the mountains, I'm just going to use this example.
Sure.
We're going to go skiing every Saturday, but throughout the week, you need to be sleeping every night by 10. And for every hour after 10 that you're not sleeping, we're going to cut back an hour of our ski time. Well, lo and behold, if skiing really means that much to them, they're going to find a way to be in bed sleeping every night by 10 PM.
True. True.
And lo and behold, they're going to start to get every benefit out of that as well. And so the moment that you can find what that motivation is for them, it's no longer you telling them to do something. It's them making the conscious choice. And that's what we call buy-in.
Absolutely.
It becomes their own narrative. It becomes the child's narrative. It becomes the student's narrative. It's the same. My NHL players, I had to do this with them. They were big kids. you're working with a 35-year-old child is what you work on to get them to do things. But it goes back to motivation. Hey, you want to continue to be able to play? You're at the end of your four-year, $40 million deal. You want to be able to play on another $10 million deal for another extension? We will probably have to do this because you're 35. No one wants to sign you when you're 36. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do something to make sure you can continue to play. Oh, I attach to the money. I don't attach to going to bed at 10 PM because I'm telling my kid to do that.
Right.
But I'm connecting to the money. So I'm going to make sure that I'm in bed by 10 PM. If my kid isn't in bed by 10 PM, I'm going to threaten him because he's not going to get his vacation to private school every month.
Right. Right.
Because no one's going to pay that bill.
Right. Exactly.
And so that's where we can do this for our kids now, is we can figure out what is the motivating factor that's going to ultimately make them make the conscious decision to say, hey, I need to go to bed. And all of a sudden, one night you're going to be sitting there watching Netflix and your son or daughter is going to come up to you and go, Mom, Dad, come tuck me in because I want to go skiing on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is where ultimately everything starts to change, is you've now empowered them with the decision and also empowered them with the consequence.
Can we borrow those kids? I know.
The millionaires? No.
Really?
The hockey players?
Yeah. No. That comes with a whole slew of other issues.
But truly, Justin, I love the entire concept of buy-in. They have to make the decision themselves. They have to think it's their idea almost. It's their narrative. It's their choice.
They're their own agents.
Yeah. And then they're going to be on board.
And it goes back to, I mean, now it's going whole circle here. It goes back to why your mommy daughter days or daddy daughter days or daddy son days are so important. Why? Because that's where you start to truly connect with them at a higher level and understand what is that purpose? What is that passion? What is that spiritual level that they're connecting with that you can now use in a different way to help guide them down that path, to help make sense of this and have conversations that otherwise it's just, oh, mom and dad are telling me to do this because.
Yeah.
But rather you have this higher level of connection, this higher level of intuition that helps them do this. And then there's a bunch of things you can do when we're talking about the spray, magnesium spray. Hey, that can be now an event that becomes fun at night that we do. Maybe we're not eating as a family at 8 o'clock at night if we want our kids to go to bed at 10 or 9, because we know that you're just not going to be tired because your body's still digesting the food because your melatonin and everything is not being secreted the right way. So us as a family need specifically to, we as parents need to have the food on the table at a certain time to make sure that things are operating in the right way. Like all of these things start to come together that if our kids aren't going to bed at a certain time, it's not necessarily just because we have bad kids. It's we have to take a look intrinsically and say, hey, have we set ourselves up for the best cases to succeed here by using practices that are rooted in science, but fundamentally work for our family.
So true. So true.
Absolutely. Wow.
Wow. This is so great. I mean, really, I've got so much to think about, Justin. This has been such a wonderful talk.
It has. It really, really has. Did you have any more questions for this?
I know.
All things internal.
What is the purpose of life? No. What is the meaning of life?
That, for the meaning of life, you'll have to bring on my better half. That's her area.
Well, she's on next.
Oh yeah. Let's get her on. Be like, how do you contain this madman?
No,
my lordy. No, that is awesome. Justin, seriously, like my mind's spinning.
Life changing.
This is amazing. And this is what you do for all your customers, all the people that sign up.
This is what we run our business off of. So we do
fantastic.
We have one-on-one coaching. We have a corporate offering. We're working with 150 companies worldwide. We have a mastermind that we have families, people, business owners coming from, again, worldwide to come and partake in. And then we have a group program that that we operate as well. So it's all focused on inner and outer energy and data-driven energy and things that are truly rooted in science, truly rooted in application to yourself, knowing that not a single person has the same fingerprint. So why would we try to put everybody into the same glove? And what we want to do is we want to create the individual applications because every single person is unique.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do too.
Wow.
Sign me up.
Well, people, if you want to know more about Justin and the awesome work that he and his company are doing, go to justownit.co. Check him out there. Again, I'm not normally flabbergasted. So.
Normally he's not speechless.
Yeah, I know.
Usually he has a lot to say.
If you listen to our other podcasts, I'm always talking. This one, I was just like, oh, tell me more. Magnesium spray where?
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much, Justin. No, it's been wonderful to talk to you.
That was amazing.
You.
So Justin, we do have two quick questions for you. First of all, you walk into, you got all the sleep you need and you're feeling great.
It's date night.
Nice one. It's date night. So what are you ordering at the bar?
That is going to be a Moscow Mule.
Love those.
Nice.
Oh, yes. With pure diet ginger beer.
Diet ginger beer. Very nice.
Nice. I like
Very
it.
Very nice. I was going to pontificate about some history I know about the Moscow Mule, but pre or post COVID brain lost it. So there is a story there. I'll get it to you. Okay, cool. And then second thing, once all this pandemic nonsense, it's just terrible. Once this pandemic is over and we can travel, and where are you going to take the missus and the family? Or just yourself or whatever. Where's the first place you want to go?
So we are going to have to reassimilate the family outing to Vietnam. So we had a trip planned to Vietnam and foiled. By the COVID. So that is going to be our next trip.
That's wonderful.
We've been able to do a little bit through COVID, but we've got Vietnam on our list for sure.
Now, why Vietnam? You have friends or is it just a historical kind of intrigue?
We have always loved, we love culture. We love experiencing new cultures. We love being exposed to new cultures. And every time we go on a big family outing, we try to learn something. And so we try to experience a new culture. And so when we went to France, we went to Paris, we went and went into a lady's house. She brought us in and she took us through an entire culinary experience of what it was like to truly have a French meal and French cooking and their dialect, the way in which they appreciate things. And so we're always trying to do it in different places that we go in and to learn and to appreciate culture. And so Elise and I have always been fascinated by the Vietnamese culture and not to mention that it's just an absolutely gorgeous part of the world.
Yeah, it's supposed to be beautiful.
That we'd like to experience and to be able to share.
I've been there. It's hot.
It depends on when you go, I imagine.
That's true.
Sticky.
That's true. Sticky. Yeah, it's hot.
I love the heat.
Let's do it.
I remember I got off the plane and there's those, those Listerine strips.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it was so hot when I got off the plane, it all melted into one big lick.
And then, so you had really good breath that day.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Well, and then I was at a bar. Oh, funny that me at a bar. I was at a bar and like in Thailand and Vietnam and stuff in the bar, like we have peanuts, they have garlic cloves.
Wow.
So this guy's like popping these garlic cloves. And I was like, take this Listerine pack because you're going to need it more than me.
This one Listerine.
This one.
You're going to need this super globular piece of Listerine.
Yes. Yes. This one lick, it'll last you a week. I don't know.
Love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love it. Well, I can't wait till we travel again.
Yeah, no kidding. Great. And I hope you get to Vietnam soon.
Yes.
Man. That'll be, and send us pics.
That's right.
100%.
All right. Well, Justin, thank you again for your time. You could have been spending it with some world-class athletes and some really important CEOs, but you chose to spend it with us, and we're very thankful.
And our parents out there, they're thankful too.
They are very thankful. They are very thankful. So again, it's just ownitco.co. Go check it out. Just amazing stuff. Seriously, wonderful, wonderful stuff. So thank you again, Justin. You rock, man.
That's right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
All right. Take care, bud.
Wasn't that so great?
Oh, yes.
I mean, the buy-in, the sleep.
The whole deal.
These are things we gotta work
on. So impressed with this guy.
I know.
Hope you guys liked it too. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a lot to think about.
I know. Peach's mind is blown.
It is.
It's short circuited. It's like, I'm
full of regret and shame. And
he's buffering.
Now I gotta go and change my life. Apparently,
it's fine. Just get more sleep. Yeah, we want to do it anyway.
Nothing like a good looking jacked guy to make you feel self conscious about yourself. Jesus. Stop. Not only physically jacked, but mentally as well. Sleep. I'm like, oh man.
Sleep. You know, sleep. Get some sleep.
Yeah.
Get some pro.
That's what I should have asked him. If I just sleep, will I look like you?
Well, you might also have to go to the gym once or twice. I love you, baby.
How do I push? Where's the mute button? Anyway, so.
Oh, yes. It's time for dad joke.
Dad jokes. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Lay it on me.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Hey, Kara.
Yeah.
Where do you go to learn how to make ice cream?
I don't know. Where?
Sunday school.
Oh, ba-dum ching.
Come on. That was good.
It is good. Tell it to our kids tonight.
I will. I 1,000% will.
They're going to be like, Dad, you just gave me a brain freeze.
Oh. All right. Well, looks, folks, check out Justin and all the great work he's doing. Again, it's justownit.co, JUSTOWNIT.co. Really cool stuff. He's written 3 books. Nice guy, smart guy, knows his stuff. Definitely worth checking him out.
Yeah.
And thank you for checking us out. Thank you for spending some time with us. Of course, you can always support us. Where are they going to support us?
Patreon.
Are you sure? Is that what it's called?
Patreon. I don't think it's Patreon. I think it's Patreon.
It looks like Patreon. I know.
But anyway. Patron. Patreon.
Don't get technical with me.
I'm pretty sure. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Everyone's desperately trying to correct me, I'm sure. So I don't think you have to worry about that. No, but please support us there. Check us out. We got some cool extra ditties in there that are fun. And, you know, if you have any questions, you want to submit any suggestions for future shows or whatnot, please send us an email at podcast@whattheparent.com. Also visit whattheparent.com. You can catch all of our other episodes, as well as they're on Spotify and they're on Apple and they're all over the place.
Wherever
you get your podcast, we should be there. And if we're not, demand that we are.
That's right.
Right? Like MTV. Wasn't that their thing? Call the cable company, demand your MTV.
Oh, yes.
That's the whole
I want my MTV.
That's right. I want my What the Parent.
It does have a nice ring to it.
It does. I want my What the Parent. So thanks again. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you on the flip side.
All right. See you later.